Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? I come to you with bad news, and so I apologize. If you don't know, now you know. Miles Garrett has just been traded to the Rams, okay? All right, let's get that out of the way. We're not breaking news here that, you know, came out about 20 minutes ago. And so I get flooded with DMs and emails. John, make me feel better. Part of this show, like, look, this is why the 49ers didn't trade for Miles Garrett, right? So we're going to cover why the 49ers didn't, which there's a lot of reasons why they didn't. And I'm going to try to do all right, what are the positives in this for the 49ers? They're not great. So I'm going to do a little mental gymnastics and, you know, but there are positives, right? There's always an opportunity cost that a team gives up. And the Rams gave up a lot. They really, really did. We don't know the full details of the trade yet. The details that are out now, the Rams get Miles Garrett. The Browns get Jared Verse. We'll detail that. A 2027 first in a draft where nobody is trading 2027 first and more. The full parameters of the trade are not out yet. I'm sure there's going to be some conditional picks going back and forth. If blah, 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 you get this back instead of this and whatever else. But we'll see. But as of now, seems to be the concrete details. Jared first and a 2027 first. Now, Calachipto is putting out there a 2020. Is that finalized yet? I have not seen that from I've seen a lot of different details out there, but none from the main kind of newsbreakers. So, Calachipto, if you have that, if that's permanent, please let me know who broke that news, because I haven't seen that out there from somebody that I trust so far. But I'm seeing two people put that out there. But again, you know, I'm on there now, and I'm just like, I'm still not seeing the finalized of that. Okay, yeah, Ian Rappaport just a while ago as I was loading this up. Yeah, so the final details as we're doing this, the Rams give up Jared first, 2027 first, 2028 second, 2029 third. So, yeah, that is there now. Thank you, Calachipto. As I was loading the show, that news came out. So, yeah, that is a very formidable draft package. No doubt about that. Now, Miles Garrett's the best defensive player in the NFL. That's not even up for debate, okay? Not even up for debate. So, now the trade details are out. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. First, second, and the third, and Jared Verse. You get Miles Garrett, okay? The details, they're out there now. The problem, the 49ers didn't get him. Why did the 49ers not get Miles Garrett? There's a lot of reasons. Number one, I think you got to start with the salary cap. I know this is going to make some people very, very upset. And, you know, I posted some of this stuff on Twitter and social media, and people that are genuinely very positive firing back. You know, and that's okay. I know there's a large conglomerate of people that are just like, oh, salary cap's not real. You can finesse it. You can move it. You can. And yes, that is true. You could definitely move some things around. But there's a stark contrast between what the 49ers have and the Rams have as far as future salary cap capital. And so if you just look at the future years, okay, now the nuance to this is I thought the 49ers had the most salary cap space in the NFL. They do this year. They have $70 million currently salary cap available this year, the most in the NFL. The Rams have $27 million. We have $70, right? Difference of $43 million. Awesome. Right now, cool. You got more. The difference happens in 2027 and 2028. The Niners are in the worst cap space of all 32 NFL teams for the next following 2 years. Not this year, the next 2 years. And this is why the 49ers have such a large space now, because they like to roll it forward. Well, let's talk about that, because none of the $70 million or $27 million for the Rams is going to be rolled forward. It doesn't roll forward to the end of the league year. So you could still add players, and the Myles Garrett financials will affect the Rams' $27 million. We got to wait for all the trade details to come out there. But 2027, the Rams currently are projected to have $53 million cap space right now. The 49ers, negative $11 million. That's a difference in $64 million next year. That's a giant gap. The rollover, even if the 49ers rolled over all $70 million, they ain't getting there. 2028, worse. The Rams are projected to have $262 million cap space. They do not have contracts going past 2027. They really, really don't. The 49ers, negative $3 million. That's a difference of $265 million in contracts that are currently elated for the 2028 year. The 49ers are the only negative team in the NFL currently projected. Now it's negative three, and they built in restructures and all this kind of stuff, but it's not $265 million in restructures. There is a giant, giant chasm between the Rams and the 49ers and how they have allocated their future salary cap money. And all of the extensions on extensions on extensions and void years on void years of void years, that's costing the Niners. Having Trent Williams playing this long, this is the negative. Extending Fred Warner every single year, rightfully so, this is a consequence. George Kittle on what, his fifth contract? Nick Bosa, Brock Purdy. The funny thing is, like, I even had people like, well, this is what you get when you pay Brock Purdy. Wrong. Brock Purdy's salary cap in 2028 is $30 million. That's cheap as hell. His contract doesn't balloon until 2029. This is not a Brock Purdy issue. The Brock Purdy contract does not affect, and I said this when the contract came out, didn't affect 2026, 2025, 2027, 2028. Nope. It doesn't start to hurt until 2029. You're hurting now because of Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk's the biggest one. And that's the biggest reason, okay? Now, there's more reasons why the 49ers didn't trade for Myles Garrett, but I'm telling you right now, the salary cap is huge. $265 million difference in 2028. How do you finagle in paying this? And again, like, even if this is huge, and I'm going to go to the next point or lead up to the next point, then I want to get to some of these comments. Even if the 49ers had the salary cap space the Rams had, still don't think the trade gets done with the 49ers for two more reasons. Reason number one, you don't have a Jared Verse to send. The 49ers do not have a Jared Verse to send. They don't. We're going to get to that whole point. I've got a whole nother page of notes on that one. Let's get to some of these comments. This is episode, I didn't even introduce it correctly, 1,653 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. Want to say thank you, all of you guys being here, all the Countdown crew, everybody, our executive producers, David Gill, who already messaged me this morning. Yeah, it's rough. 49ers George 365, Corey Robbins, thank you guys. Appreciate you guys. Maria, first one in the chat today. Brian, this is a crazy trade. The NFC West is a total bloodbath. It's insanity, man. How does the best division in football, maybe the past decade, get better? Sure as hell found a way to do it. Yeah, this blows. Shade, my man. Yeah, this is not a positive. Not a positive. There are positives, but it's not a net positive. Yeah, this one hurts. Shade from Arizona, man. This is horrible news. Oh, yeah, it's. I yelled out the F word, and my wife goes, "What's wrong?" I was like, that's just how I felt. Just like, man, not good. Label, they absolutely could have traded for Myles Garrett. They have to trade for Crosby. It's an arms race. They need to respond in force. I don't think that they are. It does, kind of increase the temperature. But again, like, man, you're kind of hamstrung. I don't even think Crosby, I don't even think they're in the conversation for Max Crosby trade. I would like them to be. I really would like them to be, but yeah, again, we'll get through this. And there's a huge difference between Max Crosby. You could have got him for two firsts, right? Could have got him for two firsts. Could have got him for two firsts. But I don't think that's the way. Again, the salary cap, the space just ain't there. I learned this trade happened from my YouTube notifications from you. Oh, man. Well, there we go. We did break news to one person. We are not news breakers. But we are just here to help quantify and provide context and understanding to some of these situations. And this situation sucks. I don't know what else to say. People overreacted for nothing. I mean, he's the best defensive player in the football. He's older. Yeah, no doubt about that. And, you know, we'll get through all of the positives, you know, in a little bit for sure. Rams stole Stafford from Kyle. Time for Kyle to swoop in at the last second. There we go, Dan Case. That one, I'll go back to this. And like, that is the biggest collusion thing in the history of the NFL. I cannot believe it. The NFL bends over backwards for a few of the owners. One of them's Jerry Jones. The other one's Kroenke. Literally, the head coach and Matt Stafford are in the same hotel in Cabo while the trade's being worked out. That's bullshit. It's total bullshit. I mean, not to say that he wouldn't have went there anyway, but come on, man. Kyle never had a chance. There's nothing Kyle could have done to get Stafford at that point. It was 100% Stafford working that trade out with, like, I cannot believe there's no collusion. Anyway, that's a whole nother one. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel, pick up the kids, they're out of school, adventure, it's all out there. For others, juggling it can be tough and can lead to being overwhelmed and counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting their days of sunshine. Well, therapy can help better understand their needs. Feel more confident about setting boundaries. Create a version of summer that actually feels good. And with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works. Their average rating is 4.9 out of 5 for live sessions based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. And they do all the initial matching work with you for the therapist. Short questionnaire helps identify your needs, your preferences, and over 12 years of experience in the industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you're not happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from all of the tailored recommendations. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy, sign up, and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. More motivation for a left guard starter. Yeah, like, You've got a lot of left. The quantity in the room for the 49ers at left guard is there. You've got three guys competing. The age-old adage, well, if you have more than one, you don't have one. But the 49ers don't value left guard. They have not valued left guard. They have penny-pinched at that position nonstop. I mean, they let a Pro Bowler in Lakin Tomlinson go. They believe the system creates the spot. Playing next to, you know, Trent Williams helps a ton. I don't see them changing. I don't think it's going to change their approach. And even if the 49ers do add or change anything, they're going to see what they have in-house and what they need after that. So I don't think there's like a lot of big moves. I'd like to be wrong, right? Obviously, I want the 49ers to do a blockbuster trade and always improve their roster like crazy. It just has to make sense long-term. And again, you go back to those salary cap numbers, they're negative the next two seasons. Even with the rollover. Even with the rollover, they're still negative. That doesn't mean adding players in the future. Now, you can redo some stuff. And I'm going to go through some extensions that the Niners could do to create more space. They're not in the horrific space, but they're not in a good space from salary cap vision. I really, really don't. Ben, my man, appreciate you, brother. I'm happy they weren't able to pair him with Verse. That's a consolation. Jared Verse is a freaking stud. That is like... The Niners don't have a Jared Verse to offer. They don't. I'm not saying they don't have good players. Nick, and people are like, well, you could have traded Nick Bosa. Why in the world would the Browns want Nick Bosa coming off an injury with the contract that's comparable to Myles Garrett? They're not winning in this year, next year, in the future. This is a future build. Jared Verse is a back-to-back Pro Bowler who's never missed a game, 12 and a half career sacks, defensive rookie of the year, and probably the biggest selling point to the Browns. He has 2 years left on his rookie contract for a combined $5 million guarantee, plus a fifth-year option. Rebuilding versus win now. Niners don't have that at the edge position. They really, really don't. And trading injured players doesn't happen a lot in the NFL. Like, again, back to Crosby, right? Was he injured? Is he not injured? Quote unquote, whatever. I don't care. The Ravens have their own take on that, right? But you look at like, okay, well, you talk about Mykael Williams coming off an ACL. His injury happened even later. Like, you don't have, Jared Verse was my number one edge that year, by the way. But like, you don't have that in-house. You traded an edge for an edge. The 49ers do not have a Jared Verse, who is an absolute stud. He's 26 years old. You trade Myles Garrett, 32 years old this season. I think he's 32. There we go. Yeah, Myles Garrett. And so, like, again, if you're looking for this crazy, like, whatever, oh, let's look for something positive. Like, Garrett turns 32 in the season. Jared Verse, 6 years younger. Is Jared Verse Myles Garrett? No, he is not. He is not. Jared Verse has 12 and a half sacks combined in 2 years. Myles Garrett had over 20 last year by himself. Like, Myles Garrett is that damn good. And I know there's going to be some, like, 49ers, whatever, and people are like, oh, he's not that good. He's that good. He is that good. But they give up Myles Garrett, they give up a first in what's supposed to be one of the best draft years ever, 2027. Second, 2028, and a third in 2023. That's a lot to give up. They gave up a lot. They paid the price. Could the 49ers have offered a first, second, a third? Yes. Did they have a Jared Verse? They did not. Like, even if the 49ers could swing the salary cap capital, you don't have a Jared Verse to send. That's the number one thing of this deal. It's not the draft capital. It's Jared Verse. It's Jared freaking Verse. That is what the 49ers lacked more than anything. Salary cap was huge. You don't got a Jared Verse. There's one more reason why the 49ers didn't do this trade. I want to get into a second. I'm way behind on the chat. Maria, John Lynch had to have known this was brewing. Not only did he not do it, but no counter move yet. If there's just a first round in 2027 pick and Jared Verse, the Browns got screwed. No, they got a second and third. Jared Verse fell off bad last year. Rams knew it. I don't think he did. I thought Jared Verse was awesome. Now, his rookie year was incredible. I don't think that it matched his rookie year, but he was still a stud. right here. They needed a future starting quarterback more than a defensive end. They believe in Ty Simpson, which is weird as hell to me. So weird, man. Right here, so many fair weather casual fans are completely losing their minds right now. This is the way it works. Overreaction, especially the offseason. And whenever you get these big splash moves, it's just like, ah, why? We could have done that. And I get it. I react the same way. There are positives. If we're going to get to the positives. There are positives. But, yeah, it hurts. It hurts for sure. Kawachipto, you're the freaking man. Appreciate you, man. Brock, get those legs ready. Some running. Now, I was at the Browns game and 49ers game last year, 2025. 49ers put up 28 points going against that Browns defense, which was awesome. Jim Schwartz always got Kyle Shanahan's number, whatever else. And Garrett had a good game. He had a sack and 2 tackle for losses, 3 quarterback hits. And it was one of the weirdest things I've ever experienced because Browns fans, you know, we're partying and tailgating and all that stuff, and we're going to the stadium. You know, I talk to everybody. I have many social issues. I'm overindulgent in meeting new people. And, like, it was so weird because all the Browns fans wanted to talk about was Myles Garrett. They didn't give a shit about their season. They didn't want to talk about Shiloh. The other Sanders kid. They didn't care. It was just all Myles Garrett. Yeah, he was on the pursuit of the all-time sack record, all that stuff. And at the game, like, everybody's like, oh, we're going to get screwed. We suck. Like, they're so, like, they didn't have respect for their team at all. Rightfully so. The Browns are a joke. Worst ownership in football. One of the worst ownerships in football. And even when they had good plays, like, it didn't really matter. But then, and I think it was the third or fourth quarter, Myles Garrett gets his sack, stadium goes bonkers, and then half the stadium leaves. That's all they were there for. That's it. Like, you had to reset everything. Now, you lose Myles Garrett, but, man, Jared Verse is a very sellable, likable dude that's a rising star, back-to-back Pro Bowls. Like, he's a good damn player. He's not Myles Garrett, but he's 6 years younger, and then you get a first, second, and third round pick on top of that. For the Browns, it makes sense. Like, I get this trade. I get this trade for the Browns, big time. Brett, the only positive I see is Garrett play. Get to see Garrett play live. Yeah, that's huge. And most likely only live game in Australia. Brett, dude, that is a positive for me. Trent Williams versus Myles Garrett. You're not going to get better TV. Now, I do wish Trent Williams was more in his prime. Obviously, he's, what, 6-7 years older than Myles Garrett is. But that was awesome. And whenever I was at, you know, the Browns game, that's what I was watching. And Myles Garrett's so freaking good. Myles Garrett is closer to his prime than Trent Williams is, obviously. I would argue they're pretty on par for how good they are, you know, for their position. Definitely Trent Williams, one of the best all-time left tackles in the history of the NFL. Myles Garrett's climbing that, owns the NFL sack record, consistent play, 2-time defensive player. I mean, he's – anybody trying to undersell you on Myles Garrett, don't buy what they're selling. He's a freaking stud. And the fact that we get to see those two heavyweights go at it in Australia, Brett, can't wait to be there with you. I think that that is huge. Man, and I will say this. If anybody is coming to any 49ers road games this year, you got to come party with us. We're going to be in Australia, Mexico City, Atlanta, Dallas, Seattle. Come party with us. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its 6th year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. All All right. And I'm seeing like people say like, man, we could have matched this trade. Who? Put it in the chat. Who could the 49ers have offered? They have amazing defensive tackle. Osa Odighizuwa is incredible. He's not Jared Verse, and he's already in an expanded contract, $20 million a year. Jared Verse, 2 years, $2.5 million each year guaranteed. That's it, plus a fifth-year option. No. I'm sorry. Put in the chat. Who is the rookie contract on 2 years, one at the edge position, which they need. They do need other stuff as well. But, like, they're building for the future. And, like, people, whenever they brought up the Myles Garrett trade, they would always say Mac Jones. They don't want Mac Jones. They're trying to tank. They're trying to tank and build for the future. They don't want a quality quarterback. That's why they're rolling with Sanders and Deshaun Watson. They don't want to win games now with the mediocre quarterback. They have to build toward the future and get one of these 2027 quarterbacks. That's what it is. That's what it is. Salary cap space will go up. That is true. But that's on the projected rise. Hopefully it goes up more than I thought this year was going to balloon huge, and it didn't. It didn't. JM, Rams let go of players when they should instead of hoarding them like the 49ers. That's another big reason. That is letting Cooper Kupp go. Offering to trade away Devontae Adams didn't work out. They let go of guys. They are very, very – the front offices, and this is my third reason, why not the 49ers? 49ers front office doesn't do business like this. It doesn't. And every time John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and even the owner gets up there and talk, sustained success through the draft. Now, it doesn't look like it's worked out recently, but with all these contracts – that you have on the books, you don't really have that much of a choice moving forward because you're paying Bosa. You're paying Ayuk, which we'll talk about in a second. You're paying Brock Purdy. You're paying Fred Warner. You're paying Christian McCaffrey. You're paying Trent Williams. That's so many dudes. There's only so many guys you can pay top of the level money, and that's why you're negative the next 2 years on the salary cap projected rate. So you, whether you want to build through the draft or not, you don't really have a choice. Now, you did just trade for starters. Like, you did just trade for Osa Odighizuwa. You did. You did sign free agents. You did make splashes. You signed Dre Greenlaw, Mike Evans, Christian Kirk, traded for Osa. Like, you've gone and spent and brought in talent, especially this offseason. Could you imagine if the 49ers had last offseason, this offseason, where they did jack shit and just reset their salary cap? And then the Rams did this? That would have been catastrophic. I love the 49ers offseason personally. But, I don't know. This front office is not this type of team. Les Snead's wild as shit, man. That dude's crazy. The Rams general manager is crazy. He's insane. And that's okay. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing or it's a good thing. They're just wild. And they're willing to do things at a very unconventional rate. That's why they get this stuff. It's just what it is. And I don't think that the 49ers would have done this trade even if it was there. I just don't see it. One, I don't even know what that package would look like. Probably two firsts, a second, and third. And man, if the 49ers offered two firsts, a second, and a third rounder, and the Rams offer Jared Verse, the first, second, third rounder, I'm taking the Rams deal. I would prefer Jared Verse over another first-round pick. Jared Verse is a hit, period. That's just the way I see it. So, again, why didn't the 49ers make this trade? Salary cap. You don't have a Jared Verse. And this front office just ain't like that. They're just not. It's not a negative thing. For a lot of us right now, today, after the Myles Garrett trade, it's a negative thing. But, man, this 49ers front office has had sustained success for 10 years now. Yeah, they didn't win a Super Bowl. That is very, very true. Maybe if they would have made it to the Super Bowl the year that you got to play the Bengals instead of Patrick Mahomes, it would have been a different story. But that's the way it goes sometimes. And maybe if they would have got a phantom freaking fourth down pass interference call to Cooper Kupp in the fourth quarter, they would have won a Super Bowl too, but they didn't get it away. It's just, sometimes the ball's got to bounce your way and you got to get help. Yeah, I'd love to play the Bengals over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Obviously, two of the 49ers Super Bowl wins are against who? Yeah, exactly, right? Like, that's just the way that it goes. And so you take your lumps, and man, there are 31 other teams, 30 technically, because he went from the Browns to the Rams, that didn't do this trade either. That didn't do this trade either. Right here, Big Brick. If or when Stafford gets hurt, they are screwed because Bennett or Ty Simpson will not be able to take them to the promised land, even with Garrett. I think that this is one of the positives for me, is the Ty Simpson pick makes even less sense now. Like, if they're doing this all in, whatever else, right now, win now, let's go. The Ty Simpson pick doesn't really fit that. Now, maybe they are as high on him as, you know, whatever, and this gives them some insurance. If Stafford does get hurt, I'm not the biggest Ty Simpson guy, but he gets to learn. And there are plenty of times you look at the Packers, you know, and you go from those three quarterbacks, like, that's pretty damn impressive. So I don't know, you know, maybe we'll have to wait and see. But imagine if they use that first round pick on another stud that was going to help them win now. I don't know. That is negative to me because they do have a foot in and a foot out. They do have a future succession plan at the quarterback position, which they did not have in house. But then you just trade for a 32-year-old premium player. I don't know. How long is Garrett going to play? Is he going to play till he's 37? Dude's made a lot of money. I don't know. We'll have to see what that is. But one of the negatives here definitely has to be, like, golly, I'm so thankful the Rams didn't use that pick on a Mekhi Lemon or on a difference maker that could have stepped in and helped this team right off the bat. Very, very thankful for that. Could be wrong in 5 years if Ty Simpson becomes a stud. Could be wrong. But yeah, it is kind of a weird half in, half out. That's kind of interesting to me. Rams getting another Super Bowl trophy while the Niners watch from the sideline. Nah, he's still got to play the game. This isn't a guaranteed Super Bowl. I disagree with that logic strongly. We'll have to see what that looks like. Label, appreciate you, man. And again, give up a first and a conditional third. That could be a second based on... No, they're not going to trade. No. Even if you could get Crosby for a first and a second, we saw the going rate was two firsts. I don't want to give up a 2027 first for a player with that knee. I'm not the big... I like Crosby a lot. I don't think that that fits what the 49ers are trying to accomplish. And it screws up the salary cap thing. I don't want to mess with the Crosby trade. I didn't want to mess with it before the Ravens trade, after the Ravens trade, after this. I don't think that that's the way to build with what you currently have. I really don't. That's just me. Now, RDM, the salary will change completely when Ayuk is gone. Well, I think it's going to become a year-by-year adjustment. And shout out to the great Johnny Dale. He talked about this on his show, which he's the freaking man. Go check out Johnny Dale's Football Academy. Great dude. So you're kind of in weird territory with Ayuk because he's not showing up. He's on the do not report list. And so you get giant chunks of his salary back on a year-by-year basis. And people are like, oh, just cut him and move on. Hell no. One, I'm way too petty for that. Two, it doesn't benefit you to do that. Because if you cut him, all that dead money prorates and it comes off the books. But if he continues to not show up like he did last year and like he's doing right now, you get back large chunks of that each year. So, like, again, back to, you know, all the extensions that are built in salary cap wise, Ayuk's 2027 salary cap is $40 million. $40 million. You're going to get back a huge chunk on that because if he doesn't show up, which I don't think he will, like, unless somebody offers a trade package, which again, I don't think anybody will, yeah, you're going to get back chunks each year. So the current numbers are if Ayuk shows up, And so, yeah, the numbers are going to get better. The rollover numbers are going to get better. Extensions, I'm going to go through some of those in a second, are going to get better. They're not getting $265 million better. That's the current difference between the Rams and the 49ers salary cap in 2027. Not $265 million. That's not happening. It's not. But Ayuk will improve the 49ers cap in the future every year he doesn't show up. And I'm to the point now, and I said this a while ago. I said this when somebody was saying, you know, Brandon Ayuk might be ready week one last year. I was like, dude, there's a strong chance Brandon Ayuk never plays football again. And not just because of the injury, but because Brandon Ayuk's different. I didn't want that to be the case. Every day that happens, that's more and more likely. Hope he gets the help he needs. I care about the human. Can't stand the player. Don't want anything to do with him, obviously. But, like, he's a different cat, man. Hope everything's all right, and I hope things go well for him. But not football-wise, I don't. You don't screw over the 49ers, and I'm not going to cheer for you anymore. But I hope as a human, things go well for him. But I don't think he's ever showing up. So I think this is just going to be a year-by-year-by-year thing. And because, like, man, you have him. You signed him under this stupid-ass contract. I said that, too, all the way through 2028. So it's going to be a year-by-year-by-year-by-year thing for Brandon Ayuk to not show up, kick in all those extra voided stuff that you're going to get back, but it's a year-by-year basis because the Niners put these option bonuses on the year-by-year, and so whenever the per-game roster bonus, he doesn't report, he loses all that. Workout bonus, loses that. The option bonus, loses that. Like, loss, 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 but those don't trigger until those dates, and there's multiple dates each year. September 1st is the option date for him this year. So when he doesn't report and it's September 1st, guess what? You get a huge chunk of that back. And so these dates matter and they're going to be around for a while. And some of the contract years don't void until the fifth day of the league year, right? June 1st. These different whatever. So all these different numbers come through there. So the Ayuk numbers will trickle in slowly on a year-by-year option date each one. That will improve. No doubt about that. Yeah, Slick right here. When you're serious about winning a Super Bowl, you do whatever it takes. There are completely two different approaches between the Rams and the 49ers front office. There is no doubt, no hiding that. There's no hiding that. What's up, Kimbrough, my man? Rams have a starting quarterback or wide receiver on the books in 2028. Let me pull up their contract. Let's go to the team. And so I think we'll see, you know, they've got a lot of stuff to get done for sure. But I'm looking right now at the Rams. These are the players that they have signed for 2028. Kyren Williams, Quentin Lake, Trent McDuffie, Cameron Curl. I'm scrolling. Everybody else are back into the roster, guys. That's it. Kyren Williams, Quentin Lake, Trent McDuffie, Cameron Curl. You want to throw in Nate Landman, who they just did a deal with. He's on there. But, like, they only have one player with guaranteed salary in 2028. One play. I'm not even joking. There is one player that the 49 or that the Rams have guaranteed salary in 2028, and that's Terrence Ferguson, and it's $500,000. That's it. One player in 2028. Okay. Now I'm going to the 49ers. They have just guaranteed Trent Williams, Mikael Williams, Deshaun Stribling, Alfred Collins. That's it. So I guess the guaranteed salary is not different, but again, the Rams are on the hook for $500,000. Just doing this real quick, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, about 20 million that year. And again, now looking at who the 49ers have under contract in 2028, Brock Purdy, Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, Fred Warner, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, Diamador Lenore, Colton McKivitz, Mikael Williams, Osa Digizua, Mike Evans, Luke Farrell, that pisses me off. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not even done. Deshaun Stribling, Alfred Collins, Vidarian Lowe, Jake Todgis, Eddie P., Nick Martin, Upton Stout, CJ West, Caleb Black, Jordan Walker. Like, you see the difference? That's the difference. And so, yeah, you look at 2027, 2028, and you're just like, oh, the salary cap's whatever. The Rams roster's going to be completely redone by then. Whereas the 49ers are holding on and extending all these different players. That's 2028, 2026, 2020. That's three seasons. I have to count. I'm slow. The 49ers feel they have the pillars in place. Do they want to improve their roster? Yes. But because they've chosen to stick with, obviously you stick with Fred Warner. He's 29 years old. Come on, man. But like sticking with Trent Williams, sticking with George Kittle, sticking with Brandon Ayuk, sticking with Christian McCaffrey, these older players, that is why the 49ers are where they are. They would rather build in-house and stay in-house. And people are like, Niners suck at drafting. Okay, cool. Brock Purdy, drafted. Nick Bosa, drafted. Fred Warner, drafted. Kittle, drafted. Ayuk, drafted, but whatever. Demo, drafted. Colton McKivitz, drafted. Mikael Williams, drafted. Like, all those guys. And then you get to the next wave, and we got to see what they are. But, like, Sean Stripling, Alfred Collins, like, those types of guys. Nick Martin, Upton Stout. We got to see. We don't know yet. The 49ers don't know about a lot of these young guys that are on cost-controlled rookie contracts that you pair with these vets that you see as pillars for your organization. That's the goal. That's what they're trying to do. The Rams don't do that. They don't. It's just two different things, man. It's two different things. So George, yeah, we talked a little bit about the Ayuk thing. You get back little chunks at a time. I saw his trade posted on TikTok and I thought it was one of those BS fake trade accounts. Yeah, I can always tell when something happens because my phone just starts freaking going. I'm a non-notification person, but I have the vibration on and I'm just like, what the hell? Am I like having a seizure? What's happening? I mean, my phone's going crazy. It was just like, so then I open it and it's just like, oh my gosh. Like, I'm not one of those people that have notifications on for, like, Rappaport and all them. I'm not. I used to be, but I did not enjoy my life at that point near as much. Find what you like. Stick with what you like. I don't want to be a breaking news guy. I don't want to be a breaking news guy. Right here, rumors Packers going after Josh Sweat. He's a stud. Trading in division would be weird. I'd be happy to do it. Doesn't happen often. I would like Josh Sweat. Probably would have had a better time for that. Kimbrough, my man, he says, F the Rams. I hate them. I hate them. I hate the Rams. I hate the Rams. I always have. And, you know, I always do my hate rankings every year, which teams, Cowboys number one for sure. And the Seahawks were number two. And then the Rams were way down the list, but they have slowly. And, you know, I got to the point where the NFC Championship, I couldn't root for either one of them. I felt inside something like I didn't want the Rams to be successful. And not that I was cheering for the Seahawks, but every time something bad happened to the Seahawks or every time something bad happened to the Rams, I felt better. What's up bad happened to the Rams? They're climbing, which is crazy because Seahawks just won the Super Bowl. Seahawks just destroyed us in the playoffs. But, dude, I hate the Rams. I really hate them. hate. Right here. Same old sorry ass Rams. Thank you. It's Dubes. Yes. Same old sorry ass Rams. Dude, come on. Do all these trades. I don't give a damn. You still got to wear that no matching ass uniform with no fans. Beg the NFL to fly all the way across the world and request to play the 49ers because you are embarrassed because no fans will go to your home games in SoFi, one of the coolest stadiums in the NFL. Yet your people will not show up. Why? Because you ain't got nobody. You ain't got nobody. There's no such thing as a Rams fan. Again, I lived in Los Angeles for 6 years. Never met a Rams fan in the wild. Never did. Just by happenstance. Nope. Doesn't exist. That's what happens whenever you have ownership that shits on like three separate cities. It has no loyalty whatsoever. And nah, screw the Rams. Screw the Rams. Screw their fans. Don't give a damn. And screw Myles Garrett. He's a freaking stud. But I hate that dude. He's a good dude. But anyway, I had a coach against that dude whenever he was in high school. He played Arlington Martin. Dude was a stud back then. Then he goes to A&M. I hate them. Now he's with the Rams. I hate them. Hate. This dude just playing for teams I hate. Screw you, Myles Garrett. I'm just joking. Garrett had more sacks than the 49ers. Yeah, they're not overrated. Myles Garrett's a freaking stud, man. Right here, yeah, the Reggie White of our generation. I'm cool with that. By far the best defensive player. It's not even close. Anthony, yeah, you'd have to trade Bosa and Mikel plus a first to get a deal done with Cleveland. And both those guys are injured. You're going to trade two ACL. If you're, like, again, this might sound, from a Browns perspective, would you rather have Nick Bosa and Mikel Williams or Jared Verse? Bosa and Mikel are better, but both on ACL recoveries, it's cleaner to just go for Verse. Myles Garrett is 31. He turns 32 this year in season. But he is a freaking stud. There's no doubt about that, man. And right here, yeah, the Rams are going all in for Stafford, kind of. The Ty Simpson trade's kind of weird, right? Like, why is that one? I just keep looking back at that, and I'm just like, dude, like, the guys that were on the board could have helped them so much. Oh, right here, GOC. My buddy is a Rams fan. I don't know if this is a bot. GOC, I don't see you in here a lot. I'm just saying that because there's no such thing as Rams fans. But I trust you, and I appreciate you. He says he's already starting with his insufferable crap. Well, I'm happy for him, but I'm not happy for him. Well, here's what I would do. And like, I will go back to this. If you look at the 49ers versus the Rams in their history, San Francisco's up 79-72, right? We got it. We've got it. The Niners have won a lot of games recently, but dude, our histories are not comparable. They don't even have as many Super Bowls as cities they've left. No, it's not comparable. It's not. I hate the Rams. I hate this champ. It's the chat scared. Oh, man, you guys are great. All right, here. Maybe Brindle can handle Garrett like he did Donald. Yeah, it wasn't Brindle. That was what Daniel Brunskill. But, yeah, we'll see. Who's the left guard, by the way? Yeah, you got three guys fighting over there. You got Brett Toth in no particular order. Connor Colby, who I keep saying is going to win the job, and then the rookie Carver Willis. I don't think Carver Willis, pass pro is not his thing. He's a stud run blocker, and he's got – I think it's going to be Connor Colby. I really, really do. Right here, did we even try to offer them Ayuk? Heavy sarcasm. Yeah, Ayuk would have solved it. Just give him Ayuk. Well, they wanted Ayuk in the initial deal. You remember that was way back. That was the trade I would have taken. Oh, like, if you guys remember, it was Amari Cooper and a second round pick for Brandon Ayuk. And I said, do that freaking deal. Not because I like huge Amari Cooper guy. That second round pick turned out to be the number 33rd overall pick. They took Carson Schwessinger with that pick. He was a freaking stud. He was a rush crush guy, right? Like, not that the 49ers should have took Carson Schwessinger, but like, that was the number 33rd overall pick in that draft. I was like, dude, do that trade. And Ayuk was like, nah, I ain't going there. Should have done that damn trade. I was saying the whole time, trade him. My claim to fame, that's not the right thing. I was going to say, maybe one of the best choices I ever made. When the 49ers signed Brandon Ayuk, I didn't even do a show. I was so mad. I love to see people get paid, and I liked Brandon Ayuk and the way he played and blocked, but the way he handled himself, I wanted him out. And so, like, what number show? This is show 1653. One of those shows wasn't even for the Brandon Ayuk season. You go look. Like, I could have made a lot of money. Go live, make money. Everybody would have watched. I didn't even want to do a show. I was like, man, this is stupid. I was pissed. I was so pissed. Yeah, Ayuk in a sixth rounder for Miles. Who says no? Oh, man. Yeah, that's there. I love it, man. JM, bad drafting and poor contract decisions why they can't swing for home run blockbuster. But they've never done that. Even when they had salary cap, even when they had draft pick capital, the only time they've done it was for Trey Lance. And so their big home run swing was for a quarterback in the draft. Now, they tried to get, Kyle wanted to trade for Stafford, but he was never even included in that conversation. He went in Cabo with freaking same hotel bullshit. Anyway, like their one big trade, swing trade. I don't want to say that. Christian McCaffrey was a home run swing. I mean, you offered a second, third, fourth, fifth. That's a big trade. The Trent Williams trade, you kind of insider trading your way into getting him. You offered a third and a fifth round pick. And Washington traded him, was going to trade him to Minneapolis, the Vikings, Minnesota Vikings, for a second round pick. And Trent said, you trade me there. I'm not signing. I'm retiring. So they pulled back. And then they had to trade him to the 49ers. So, like, there are some big trades. The D4 trade, second round pick, and then that huge contract. It's not like they don't. The third round pick this year for Osa, that's not a home run. Third round pick trade. Like, there's a big difference between a first, second, third, two-time Pro Bowler on a rookie deal. This is a grand slam deal. You offered up so much. But, yeah, right here. Bosa, Mikel, Lenore, plus a first, second, and third. Now that would be done, right? But I'm not offering that. I would not offer that on the 49ers. Just not doing that. Yeah, I'm not showing that. I'm not seeing that on there, but we'll see here. Right here, this trade will backfire on the Rams. It could. You know, Myles Garrett, I don't want anybody. I do not want Myles Garrett getting hurt. Like, that is not what I want to happen. But let's just be honest. Like, yeah, he's 31. If injuries happen, if this dude is signed forever. He's signed, I think, for 5 more years. And his contract, because of all the salary, the extensions, and signing bonus, isn't terrible. Myles Garrett, biggest salary cap number is $50 million. And that's not until 2030. Like, the contract's not awful. It's really, really not awful. But that 2029, 2030, 2031 are huge things. And so, and he's already got five void years on top of it. Dang, he's got a $40 million void year on there currently. Yeah, so they'll do some extending and whatever else, but he's already signed to play through his 35-year-old season. Is he going to play like Trent? Yeah, I don't know. Monkey, Eddie P will outscore Myles Garrett every game. Sounds like a solid reasoning to me. Fair trade. That's true. He will outscore him every game. Yeah, it's rough, man. And Slick, I'm with you. The overall is negative, okay? And I understand that I want to do positive and, you know, make being a fan better, but sometimes, like, you just got to take your lumps. This sucks. You got to line up against Myles Garrett now. Twice a year, maybe three times. Best division in football just got better for the immediate future. Now, maybe Jared Verse turns into an all-pro and not a Pro Bowler. And maybe Jared Verse plays into his 30s and plays 5 years after Myles Garrett has retired. Maybe that's there. And if it is, all right. Maybe long-term, this is a win-win trade. Maybe, who knows? Maybe some of those draft picks turn into some absolute bangers and whatever else. That's what it is. Thank you, NY Niners. Yeah, I'm sure all three of the Rams fans are happy today, but they sure have to beat us on the field when it counts. We got this. Yeah, go out there, win week one. Shut them up in Australia for the whole world to see. I ain't put it past the 49ers. They can definitely do that. We'll have to see how many people are healthy and back, because you do have a lot of guys coming off injury. JM, as I stand, the 49ers are third place team in the division. I think that's a fair assessment. I think the Vegas odds will reflect that. But just because you're third in the division, I think you're also third in the conference. And you still got to play. You still got to play. You still got to play. Things got to bounce your way. 49ers beat the Rams last year. Did they beat the Rams last year? I'm crazy right now. We beat the Rams. Yeah, we beat the Rams. Alfred Collins. We beat the Rams last year when we were all banged up and we had nothing. Beat them last year. They beat us last year as well. Their beating was much worse. But, like, come on, man. Like, might be third place in the division right now in projections, but they ain't got shit to do with on the field. It's a game-by-game basis. And the 49ers made the playoffs, beat the Rams, and beat the defending Super Bowl champs last year in the playoffs on the road, and they have a much better roster this year. Improve yourself see what happens. The Niners do have the arsenal to trade. They got to see what they have in-house. And, you know, if they're competing and they're playing, get to that trade deadline, who knows? See what's out there, get it done. There we go, right there, the Smitty. Yeah, Niners winning the Super Bowl and Levi South this season. There we go. There we go. I do like that. They have no fans. Right here, call it. If any Rams fans show up in Melbourne, the locals will think they're there to tarmac the roads with their dumb high-vis jerseys. They're terrible jerseys. And the Rams, like, should have one of the coolest uniforms. Like, you look at some of their throwbacks, they're pretty freaking fire, man. You go back to those Eric Dickerson days, and, like, they had some cool ones, and they messed up just, like, such a cool idea. They just screwed them up, and they just get worse and worse and worse each year. Every single year they get worse. Yeah, JM, verse for Garrett is a no-brainer. That's true. Verse, a first, a second, and a third for Garrett. I think the Rams paid. Do I think they overpaid? If I was the Rams general manager, I'm probably more cautious than most. I'm not saying I'm as cautious as, you know, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. I'm definitely not as wild of a gambler or whatever as Les Snead. I don't know if there is anybody. I would be willing to argue he's the craziest general manager in the NFL. Like, that dude is, he's crazy. Like he's just crazy. I'm not saying it's a bad move. They paid. You gave up a 26-year-old edge player on a rookie-controlled contract for three more seasons, two-time Pro Bowler. We'll see. We got to see. It's easy, and, like, people put out, like, grades and all that stuff, and I remember the Christian McCaffrey trade. Like, a lot of people were upset. I thought you gave up a lot. Like, I'm usually more conservative whenever it comes to these types of trades. That's just where I stand. I don't think I would give up Jared first, a first, second, a third. Not with Matt Stafford as my quarterback. Maybe that's why the Ty Simpson pick makes more sense to them, but I'm just like, Yeah, I don't know, man. Wherever you guys feel, the Niners are cooked. I completely disagree. That's stupid. That's okay. Gravy, right here. Thanks for having a level head. I've been accused of a lot of bad things in my life. I try to stay a little level-headed. I try to. But we'll see. We'll see what that is. But, you know, back to the positives. The 49ers are going to keep building through the draft. It's who they are. 2027 is going to be one of the best draft classes out there. I really do believe that. There are so many top-tier studs. I know that because, one, I'm a Texas fan. I'm a Longhorn. They have, like, four of the top eight players in this draft, and they are all premium positions, freaking studs. That's just Texas. You look at the quarterbacks. You know, if more of the quarterback from Oregon came out this year, he would have been the second overall pick. He's coming out as well. There's about five other quarterbacks that are there. Probably arguably the best wide receiving talent to come out since Julio Jones, maybe. You know, the kid from Ohio State, Jeremiah Smith, he's unbelievable. Cam Coleman's a freaking, like, they're just premium positions. Yeah, two elite edge rushers. There's a lot there next year. If you're the Browns, this makes sense. It makes sense because you got to get a quarterback in the future. They don't have that. We'll see. Rick, man, appreciate you, buddy. Are you worried about the Rams now? And now do you think we will do something now? I was always worried about the Rams. The Rams have a badass roster and elite coaching staff. The Rams are great. This makes them better now. I am not the most reactive person. That's not how I operate. You build your team to win consistent games and to win on the road in playoffs. That's what I believe. Because only one team gets to stay home in each division last year, in every year. And so, like, that's the way I want to build. The 49ers draft, we'll have to see how it pans out. They have backed – this is the thing. The 40 – like, people keep saying the Niners can't draft. That's stupid. I'm not saying you're saying that, Rick. The Niners have back-to-back very quality draft classes. Very quality. Not home runs. Everybody got used to getting a Brock Purdy or a Fred Warner or, you know, a George Kittle every single year in the draft. That's not normal. Like, PFF did, like, this new exercise, and screw PFF and their sellout, whatever else. but like they put out a pretty cool article where it was like the 10 biggest draft hits or values of the past 10 years. Niners had 4 out of 10. The entire NFL, the past 10 years, 4 of them were 49ers picks. It was Brock Purdy. He was number one. He was the best, right? Kittle, Warner, and I'm missing one more. It might have been Diamador. I think it was Talanoa Hufanga. Two-time All-Pro safety in the fifth round, but you know he's not on the team anymore. Should have signed him, should have kept him, but whatever. Like the Niners have drafted very, very well with home runs, but the last 2 years, not counting this draft class, they ain't played yet. Like quality guys, man. Like you got a lot of quality players the last 2 years. Yeah, there was that 3-year freaking lumps in there where it was just like, yeesh. But I'm not the most reactive guy. I don't think that's when good decisions are made. Like, man, you don't make financial decisions based on emotion. That's where bad things happen. And whether that's real estate, stock market, whatever. Whether you're building your team, look, you build your team for sustained success. That's what the 49ers are doing. Rams don't believe in that. But, like, who are you? Like, I get asked, okay, let me rephrase this. I get asked by people a lot, like, oh, I want to start a podcast too. What should I do? And every single time I'm like, dude, let's talk. And like, dude, I've made so many stupid ass decisions and mistakes and, you know, wrong platforms and learn what to do and what not to do. And not that I'm like really good at this, but like I've done it a lot. It's my full-time job. This is how I pay the bills. 49ersrush.com. If you like what we do, we got film breakdowns up on every single rookie, multiple on some, and we're building through that. So coaching tape, you get to see how they're going to fit, how they plug into the scheme, Zoom hangouts every single month, all that stuff, the49ersrush.com or our Patreon channel. We have the same content on two different platforms. But support us. If you like what we do, sign up for a 7-day free trial. Check it out. Stick around, whatever. But like I get questions and, you know, people like, hey, I'm thinking about starting a podcast in several different fields, not just like 49ers stuff. I'm like, dude, yeah, let's talk. And one of the things I always tell people every single time, you got to figure out who you are. Like if you're a negative person, let's just talk about, okay, just people starting a 49ers show or a football show. Dude, if you're negative, be negative. Like who are you? Are you a positive person? Are you a fun person? Are you funny? Don't be something you're not. Don't do that. Don't adapt because this other channel gets more clicks, views, whatever, and do what they do. That's bullshit. That's fake. And you're going to wear yourself out. This, again, show 1,653. Could you imagine if I had to switch up my personality every time I went live? How exhausting that would be? 1,600 times and counting? Man, fuck that. Like, that's, you be who you are. Kyle Shanahan got this job to be the coach / GM, and he is the GM. Be who you are. I'm not saying don't adapt. I'm not saying don't change. Don't learn lessons. That's all I'm saying. But don't go be Les Snead. Kyle, you're not Les Snead. You're not a gambler. You look at what Kyle does on fourth downs. Like, Kyle is consistent, efficient, outsmart. Like, that's who he is. Don't go be who you're not. Don't chase. Don't make emotional. Oh, now Myles Garrett's and Rams, we got to go and run. I don't buy that philosophy. That's not who you are. I'm not saying you don't try to improve your team, but you don't make a decision just because Myles Garrett is now there. Yeah, okay. If you want to make the decision, how do we increase our team? How do we improve our team? Why would that have changed because of a Myles Garrett trade? Why? Why? Yesterday, before the Myles Garrett trade, the 49ers are sitting around and like, well, at least nobody else has made a splash, so we don't need to make a splash. That's not how people think. At least it sure as hell shouldn't be. Like, why would this change? He's a stud. They gave up a shitload. They had a stud defensive end going into this season. Well, now they have the best defensive end. Why would that change my philosophy on what I feel is best for my team? That's not the way I see them acting. Now, I don't know. I don't know. Rams. Yeah, there's different ways. Rams do have sustained success. They're an amazing front office and amazing roster. Yes, they do. They're good. One of the best coaches in the NFL. Like, again, I say this all the time. Like, if you wiped every single head coach off a roster, all 32 teams have no coaches. The top two coaches that are going to be the most pursued are Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. McVay probably a little bit more than Shanahan now. But guess what? Like, McVay's not the GM. McVay doesn't have the power that Shanahan has. Shanahan has so much more power. Les Snead was there way back with Jeff Fisher and all that stuff. He was way back in St. Louis. He was way back for all that stuff. Leslie Snead hired McVay. Kyle Shanahan hired John Lynch. Big difference. But from a coaching standpoint, there are two top coaches in the NFL. And we're talking building a roster for now and in the future. There's two. Ah, you want to throw Mike McDonald? He's, you know, the new upriser, and he's a freaking stud. I'm not trying to say he's not. But for the longest time, it was two. Like, there is no way in hell. Let me just rephrase this. All 32 coaches are all 32 teams are coachless. They have no coaches. Kyle Shanahan's not getting past three. And he's not three. But I do not care. Kyle Shanahan would not be the third hired coach. He'd be the second. I guarantee it. You mean to tell me I can hire a coach that can guarantee I have positive quarterback play and my offense is efficient no matter who I have out there? Nobody would. The Rams, they're up there too. McVay is more adaptable than Shanahan, no doubt about it. He changes his personnel groups way more than Shanahan. He caters to the talent on his offensive side way more than Shanahan. But you've only seen McVay play with first overall pick quarterbacks. Dude went from Jared Goff to Stafford. Never seen him with anything else. He never had to. Now, if he lost Stafford, he might go get another one, right? Like, there's a big difference. Kyle Shanahan has done this with Jimmy Garoppolo, Nick Mullins, C.J. Beathard, Trey Lance for a small point, and now Brock Purdy. You see what I'm saying? Like, they're different. The Rams are a great freaking organization. I'm not saying they're not. I'm not saying what. And there's different ways. You know, I was talking with my buddy Shane just about like finances and stuff. Like, I love real estate. That's what I know. That's what I do. He's a big investor in, you know, the market and all those things. And it's like, whatever diet works for you, do that. Yeah. Some people, you know, they're runners or power lifters. Some people are CrossFit. Some people, what is it that works for you? Don't change it if it works. Yeah. There might be something out there better, but like, you got to stick with what works for you. And I think that that's important. And what the 49ers are doing is working. If your entire rubric for success is Super Bowl or bust, I'm sorry, you're not going to be happy. You're not. That's not sustainable. And 31 out of 32 teams are pissed. Your job, and this is what Kyle Shanahan, and this is what almost all coaches say, by the way, in coaching rooms, which I've been in and been a part of, we want to create a roster and a team that gives us a shot. And we want to build our team and improve our team throughout the year so that we have that opportunity. Kyle Shanahan does that year after year. Five times he has received Coach of the Year votes. Five seasons out of nine. No, McVay can't say that. I'm not saying he's better than McVay, but I'm just saying, like, this constant comparing, like, oh, well, and this isn't everybody, and it's a little bit of an overreaction. I apologize for the soapbox, but you clicked on my face, so like, we're going through this. I love y'all, and I really do appreciate y'all being here. You don't change your stripes in a knee-jerk reaction and act out of character with what you have been aligning and building for so long just because somebody else did what they did. The Rams are going to make more splashes, and they're going to keep doing that. What do you want me to say? You're not going to get that from Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. You're just not. Rusty, if I had to be somebody I'm not, I'd choose John Chatton. Thank you, Russ. I miss you, brother. You're the best. You're the best. yeah. I love it. Howdy. Thanks for being who you are, John. your philosophy is badass. Thank you, man. I really appreciate you. Yeah, Trent only allowed one sack versus Garrett last time they faced each other. He held him down all game. Yeah, and that one time he got it. Like, I mean, Garrett's good, and he's going to win reps. And so, yeah, Trent won 60 reps. Miles Garrett won 4. The 4 are the only ones we talk about. That's what it is. I'm not saying you're saying that. Yeah, look at this, monkey. There's always somebody better off. There's always somebody worse off. There's always a bigger fish. Look at monkey. Imagine being a Cardinal fan, seeing everything going on in this division. Hey, man, tank for Arch. The March for Arch. It is there. Russ, John, you're killing the weak bandwaggers that keep calling for Shanahan Lynch's heads. Those guys, there's places for them, and I'm glad they're here. Listen to takes that align with what you believe and that challenge and force you to overcorrect, right? That is what a discussion is supposed to be. That is what it's supposed to be. And so, yeah, I don't know. And we still got Trent. That's huge. We got Enrique Cruz going against Miles Garrett week 1. I don't want that. Yeah, there we go. we don't want there. We'll see what it is. We'll see what it is. Right here, Maria, I wonder what people will be saying if the Rams don't win the Super Bowl this year. And that's the thing. You know, hindsight's 2020, and in the offseason, I always get this. Well, the Rams sold out to guarantee they won a Super Bowl. And I'm like, no, they didn't. The Rams sold out and won a Super Bowl. They didn't guarantee a Super Bowl. Tart dropping that interception changed things. They almost lost to the Eagles, like in the wild card of divisional round. Then they should have lost the Super Bowl, but the refs gave them a phantom PI call on fourth down and allowed them to win the game. Like, one of those three things don't happen. You're not there. You don't guarantee. Now, things went their way, and yeah, like, and that's the thing. I say this all the time. Give yourself a chance. Sometimes the ball's got to bounce your way. You got to make some breaks. You got to do that, and then you win the game. But the 49ers walked off the field in the Super Bowl, the fourth quarter in overtime against the Chiefs the second time with the lead 3 times. Walked off the field. Brock Purdy walked on the field losing, walked off the field 3 times with the lead in the fourth quarter in overtime, and still lost. And people are still like, Kyle Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan. Dude, Kyle Shanahan didn't give up all those freaking points. Like, and I'm not trying to give Kyle Shanahan a pass. Kyle Shanahan pisses me off too. But whenever you look at what else is out there, would you rather have Jonathan Gannon? You want Jonathan Gannon? You want Kevin Stefanski? Is that what you want? If you just want a, you know, a Super Bowl winning quarterback, could have went and got McCarthy. You gotta be kidding me, man. And I know that's not the most people in here. Miles Garrett getting out there sucks. I hate it. I hate this trade. I'm pissed. That's okay. Don't alter who you are. One, you were never in the conversation for this trade. It does suck that he's in division. There's no doubt. Rams got better today. Niners stayed the same. I don't know what else to say. Phil, glad you're here, man. Great to see you here, brother. You're the best of the best. Appreciate you, man. Oh, look at this. Douglas. Sup, John? First time on here. Glad that you are here. All I say is we haven't won a chip yet, and the Seahawks and Rams have won. Make that make sense. But yeah, it sucks. There's no doubt about it. And so what you have to do is you constantly have to continue to put yourselves in a chance to win the Super Bowl and give yourself the opportunity to be there. You can't make choices in hindsight. You can't do that. Can't do that. So you've got to get to the point where, all right, what's best for the 2026 49ers that doesn't sacrifice the future too much? And it's a constant give and take. I would argue the 49ers formula for what they have built this team is a quality formula. That's why they keep having so much success. If success is just Super Bowl or bust, you're not going to be happy. What is it? 8 teams in the NFL have never won a Super Bowl? Never? 8 teams. 2 entire divisions have never won a Super Bowl. The 49ers have 5. So if we're just looking at the Kyle Shanahan era and you're just like, haven't won, he sucks. I don't know what to tell you, man. That's a horrible way to live. You're not going to enjoy your fandom. I'm not saying be happy you don't win Super Bowl. That's what I'm saying at all. Dude, nobody might have been more upset than me whenever you lost those games. I was there. But defining everything as just this, I'm just telling you, it's not the way to live. I'm telling you, your life's going to suck. It's not. I was at the NFC Championship game and the win and the comeback against the Lions. Somebody gonna tell me that didn't matter? That was one of the coolest things I've ever experienced in my life. That was one of the coolest. I was there with Rusty, by the way. That was one of the coolest events of my life. And William, shout out to the Kerrigan family. What's up, Sam? But like, dude, that was one of the coolest events of my life. They didn't win the Super Bowl. That game doesn't matter now. And again, I'll constantly go back to this, and it's bad for business. If you only care about the Super Bowl winning or losing, why are you watching preseason games? Why are you watching regular season? Why are you even watching playoff games? Wait till they're in the Super Bowl. That's all that matters, right? I used to say this shit to my dad all the time. He was a Braves fan, season ticket holder, and he was the most negative, and that's a big reason why I am who I am. My dad was the most negative fan ever. Most negative, like, if you ever watch Major League, we'll blow it in the ninth. Like, he was Randy Quaid, right? Like, that's who he was. He was that fan. And, you know, be the fan that you are. My job is to inform and try to increase the fan experience. I'm telling you right now, if you're a Super Bowl or bust person, you're not going to have a good time. You're going to have a bad time. Stan Darsh. But, like, man, this sucks. Negatives happen. Other teams improve. 31 teams don't have Myles Garrett. The Rams do. That sucks. That sucks. I hate it. Positives, they lost out on one of the youngest, brightest edge players in the NFL, in Jared Verse. Yeah, he's not near as good as Myles Garrett, but he's going to play longer than Myles Garrett. Makes the Ty Simpson pick weird as hell. And this isn't the way the 49ers build. It's what it is. It's what it is. What's up, Douglas? Appreciate you, man. Thanks for the super chat. Here's a cold one on me. Oh, you're the best, man. Love you, brother. Nate and I will see you in New York City. As of now, I don't think we're going to New York City this year, and I feel really bad about it. Still trying to swing some things, but I doubt I'm going to be out there hosting events. Small chance I just come out there and enjoy life. And if so, I'd love to see you and hang out, as always. You and Nate are the freaking man. Appreciate you, Doug. But man, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Austin, what's up, man? Austin's one of the best of the best. Appreciate you, brother. Says hashtag CC says, John, I'm not worried about this trade. When has Garrett ever controlled a game against the Niners? Ooh, good question. He is a stud. I think he is the best defensive player in the NFL still at his age. But yeah, it's what it is. We take it and we move on. So love you guys. Hopefully you enjoyed this show. Yeah, it sucks. It's not all whatever. Joe, another stud. Look at this. Thanks for the super chat, Joe. Appreciate you, man. He says, I don't love your show because after such big moments, you give me real facts and how it affects the 49ers. See you in Seattle. I'm not going to change who I am, man. It's just the way I see life. It's just the way I see things. Myles Garrett's a freaking stud. I hate that he's on the Rams. Hate it. I don't think it should change. Like, I'm not in the arms race, whatever. You build your team. Every decision you make should always be what helps this team now and in the future. You balance that and you make those choices. Just because the Rams trade for Myles Garrett doesn't change the way that I would have acted yesterday versus today or tomorrow, personally. I don't know. We'll see if John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan disagree. But thank you, Joe. Can't wait to see you in Seattle, man. Love you guys. Maria, you're the best. Appreciate you. All the sweet words. You guys are awesome. We're going to continue a lot of content this week. John and Wayne show. We got the Krug show. We got Coach Approach. We got our countdown. All those different things. And if you like what we do, go check us out, the49ersrush.com. You're going to any 49ers away games, check out 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Come party with us. All-inclusive tailgates. We'll be in Australia, Mexico City, Atlanta, Dallas, and Seattle this year. And we're looking to add a couple more dates, but those are the 100% dates we'll be at this year. But until next time, and I end every single show the exact same way, and sometimes it's more meaningful than others. I wear this hat for a reason. It says Faithful for those of you who listen to audio only. Till next time, stay strong, Faithful.